What is up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from. I'm your host, Chronic, for the Cannabis Chronicles on all major streaming platforms, as well as the host of this show, Reviewing Ruderalis, brought to us by Atlas Seed and the Autoflower Review. Be sure to smash that like button, comment down below, and subscribe or follow along for whichever platform you're tuning in from, just so you can show some love to our sponsors, as well as you'll never miss out on any of the episodes we post. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to be teaching all of you how much training is too much training when it comes to autoflowers. This is actually something one of my friends recently caused his plants to hermaphrodite over, and I want to prevent any of you from causing your plants to hermaphrodite. So in today's episode, that's what I'll be teaching you. So without further ado, let's break into it. Now, at this point, you could be at any stage of growth, and you could cause an autoflower to either stunt, hermaphrodite, or potentially perish if you do too much training. So the question is, how much training is too much training? And that relies on the stage of growth that you're in. So now for seedlings, you literally don't want to do anything. You shouldn't be really training them. The max amount of stuff that you want to do is maybe a green twist tie and like pulling them down if their stem is getting elongated. Or you can maybe like hold them up with a little toothpick or something like that if they need the extra support, but you pretty much don't want to do anything with them. Some growers will bury the stem just a little bit deeper with some soil, like make a little mound if it becomes a problem. But most of the time, you just want to let the seedling for an autoflower from day, you know, one of sprouting, meaning like out of the soil or out of whatever medium you're using. You know, green little cotyledon leaves and starting to form the first set of fan leaves. That's like kind of like day one for me, in my opinion. Day one is various for a lot of growers. Some growers say day one is germination. Some is when it pops the taproot. For me, day one is when I see those cotyledons. They're green. It's alive. It's starting to take in photosynthetic active radiation from my lights. It's starting the photosynthesis process. And all that fun stuff. So that's when I consider day one. Now, from my day one to about day 21 of life, or day 21, I'm sorry, day 14 of life, I don't do anything. I literally try to just minimize the stretching of the plants by keeping my light lower or having my plants lifted towards the light, at least like 12 inches away from the canopy, you know, so that there's not much stretching. Sometimes I'll even put it closer if I can, but I haven't had any issues stretching. From day 14 to 21, that's when you can start training. This is the training that I was talking about where it's going to be more stressful. Anything that's just like pulling down the plant or causing minimal stress without breaking the plant, that's perfect. But what I like to start doing whenever my plants are starting to grow past day 14 and starting to spread and stretch, once they have developed a set of fan leaves and they're starting to develop more, I like to start Cushman chiropractics or super cropping certain spots to allow the stem to start bulking up. I do this from about day 14 to day 21, and then I give them a rest week from day 21 to day 28. And then from day 28 to day 35, I generally will train a little bit more, help bulking up the stem. And then once I see pistils, I just stop training. So the only other training that you can allot with all of this, and you should always be timing your, sorry, I got a hair in my face. For those watching the podcast and not listening, a hair just got right in my face and I kept wiping my face. But anyways, back to autoflowers. But for those wondering, if you're wanting to add additional training techniques on top of, you know, just simple low stress training such as Cushman chiropractics or even a super crop, which is high stress training, you need to time training days. So specifically like day 14, you could do your first low stress training. Day 21, you could do a very high stress training, right? So that could be your first or your last high stress training day. And then you give a 7-day break. Oh my gosh, a 1 week break. And on day 21, you would time that up with a feeding day so that you allot the root system enough nutrients to recover from the stress. And you really don't want to do too much. You pretty much want to do, if you're going to do a heavy training day, it needs to be like a super crop and some defoliation. or you're going to do a top and some defoliation. Don't do like super crop Cushman chiropractics, defoliate, topping, femming. Don't, you have to do it in segments. So if you want to like top or fem your plant, that needs to be the first training you do at the third to fourth node on the autoflower. So that will be the first thing that you have to do. And then you have to allow a 7 to 10 day break. If you do a fem, which is the essentially fuck I missed, that's what it stands for. It's where you half a top. So you like cut a top in half instead of taking the whole top off. And it could potentially create up to like anywhere from 3 to 8 new tops, which is really crazy. Now, I don't recommend fems on autoflowers. It can really stress out the plant and it can take a lot of recovery time. If you're going to top, that's what I do recommend. So take the full top off. You'll want a whole week recovery time. Align that topping day with a light feeding. You know, you don't need anything crazy. You don't have to overfeed. You just need to make sure you're giving accessible nutrients to the root system to make sure that it knows like, hey, I'll survive this. I've got enough food source here. I can recover. This won't be anything. I don't need to stress myself. I don't need to stunt. I don't need to hermaphrodite. Because essentially what hermaphroditing is for autoflowers with stressing from training is you stress the plant to a point where it thought it was going to die. And that just is due to the natural circumstances of ruderalis. So you have to just make sure you do the proper amount of training. So meaning when you do that top, you give that 7 day break. And then the next one you can do a super crop spot and some defoliation. And then, you know, over the span of 3 to 5 days of healing time, you might see your plant bounce right back up and you can go ahead and bend the stem back down and kind of Cushman chiropractor it out. Sometimes in 24 to 48 hours with my autoflowers during day 14 to 21, I can literally train the stem every day with Cushman chiropractics lightly or bend the stem down and just have them, you know, bounce back up, bounce back up, bounce back up. So that by day 21, I can let it have a rest week and let the plants just naturally get bigger to day 28. And then I can do that training at day 28. And that can kind of be my final training until day 35. And then day 35 will be that hopefully pinnacle moment where you see pistils. And if you don't see pistils, you can get some more training in. But if you do see pistils, then you can start swapping over to flower feed and basically... you can potentially do one last defoliation. That's what I generally will do if you want to remove any major fan leaves. I don't recommend any topping at that point, and I don't recommend any too harsh of training at day 35 if there's pistil showing. But if there's no pistil showing and your plant's still getting bigger because you're in a larger grow pot and a grow space, then continue training. You know, you could do another training, and by day 42, you'll hopefully have pistils and a nice big autoflower, and, you know, it'll flower within the next 4-ish to 6 weeks. Or I don't even know. Sometimes they flower faster. Sometimes they'll be like day 55, day 60 because they just pumped out flower. It's crazy. Some of those like autoflowers really have good genetics. I've seen some crazy stuff. But in smaller pots, they definitely grow faster. In larger pots, they're going to be like your 80-day autoflower, 90-day autoflowers and stuff like that. So, but that's essentially it. Once flowering starts on an autoflower, I don't recommend any training. Maybe a big leaf here or there where you're pulling off a leaf so you're not covering a site, or if it's like dead or something like that, cool, that's fine. But no training in really no training in flower. Once your plant starts flowering, you want to minimize literally any damage to it. The most amount of things you want to do is add bamboo stakes to help hold weight. Maybe spread out the canopy using green twist ties just to open up the canopy without damaging the stems or anything like that. Because during flower, it's going to be the plants are going to be almost a little over heightened to stress, and they'll be much more easier and prone to hermaphroditing. It doesn't matter what, you know, and that comes into play with most, even stable genetics. You know, if you put a stable photoperiod or regular plant, you know, regular photoperiod or feminized photoperiod, that's super stable, one of the best strains out there. If you cause too much trauma, let's say in one day in flower, you could kill the plant if you cause too much, or you could cause it to hermaphrodite. You can also do that with light stress too. So, you know, the one pro to autoflowers is they don't really hermaphrodite from light stress unless you're going insane with your light schedules on, off, crazy hours and stuff like that, which I don't recommend. Just do like 20 hours on, 4 hours off, or 24 on, and that's what I recommend. But as far as stressing goes, yes, autoflowers during flower time are a little more sensitive than their photo period counterparts, but they're not like, it's not like you can't do anything. You can attach them to bamboo stakes. You can put them in a trellis net, that kind of thing. You can't do damage to the stalks. You don't want to do that because also you're taking the energy away from the bud sites, right? So autoflowers are designed to, once they start flowering, their whole hormonal makeup is going to swap ridiculously fast compared to a photo period. And they're going to start doing all their hormonal processes and photosynthetic processes to create trichomes, you know, bud, calyxes, all the things that require the flower development and everything. The medicinal makeup behind all the terpenes and cannabinoids and everything inside the bud. So once pistils form and you start to see flower signs, I don't like to do training on my autoflowers. I just let them go. And that is that. Your goal is to bulk them up before they get to like day 35. That is pretty much the goal of autoflowers. And if you don't do anything from day 1 to day 14 or even day 7, sometimes autoflowers are insane by day 7. Just depends on your genetics, if you planted them right, like a lot of circumstances. But I usually say 14 days for anyone to do anything, because it's like very rare that I see a 7-day autoflower that's like insane. But it happens. But by day 1 to day 14, don't do anything. Then day 14, you get to do your first training all the way to day 21. Then you can relax. And then you can do another training up until, you know, if you did a heavy training, like we talked about, like if you did a top at day 14, then you'll chill that week and you can do another training at day 21. If you do low stress training all week long and you're Cushman chiropracting the stem from day 14 to 21, you give your rest week from day 21 to day 35, and then you do a big training on day 35. So you're basically just alternating weeks. So like you just have to be cognizant with your plant. You don't overdo it. So if you're going to do a high stress type of training, you want to, if you're adding anything to it, it's going to be a light defoliation or twist ties, tying down branches, things like that. You don't want to do double high stress training types of training. So that means like a top and a super crop, or Cushman chiropractics and a top, or, you know, super crop and a fem, or a major defoliation like a Swayze and a super crop. But you don't want to do those types of things to an autoflower unless you have enough of a root system resilience or a genetic that shows it can take it. And when you're growing for a product and you don't know necessarily if it's like, well, is this going to hurt? Well, don't push it, because you don't have to. Like doing low stress training on autoflowers, pulling back stuff, doing that top at day 14 can get you a wide canopy, because it halts the height and it will start allowing those, and everything will start growing together. And you just start Cushman chiropractics, all those branches, or low stress training, all those branches like outwards, like a bonsai, and they'll get thick. And all you have to do is thicken the canopy. And then maybe day 35, you can skirt your plant with a lollipop training, and voila. Now you have all the stuff at the top. You have a nice thick branched autoflower. You don't have it hermaphroditing on you. And from day 35 to flower, you're just feeding it and you're caring for it and maybe big leafing here and there, but doing no other training. So that is what that's my recommended autoflower regimen. That's what I do. I let the plants do the work. You know, bud doesn't have to be, I know everybody wants super thick, dense, quality, fabuloso nugs and everything like that. The first, learn the genetic and learn how the cultivar is and responds to stuff first. Kind of let it tell you what it likes, and then just dial it in, because that's how you get there. How you get those crazy looking nugs or the stacked nugs is learning how the plant grows in your conditions and your setting. And sometimes it takes a grower two or three or even a year of growing that strain. Just because maybe you're using different nutrients every grow, or maybe you're cycling through different changes. Maybe the you're upgrading your gear, so the environment is getting more honed in, so it's getting more dialed in. Like, these are adjustments growers have to think about all the time. And just so don't focus on certain things, like where you're like, oh, I'm going to train this and do this. This is going to make it so good. Like, just remember, less is sometimes more, or less is more almost always with growing cannabis. The only time I would say more with would be light sometimes is, you know, you want more light than less light sometimes. So, but during the veg days and stuff, that's a whole other podcast. Anyways, less is more when it comes to training. Okay. I'm not trying to throw you guys off here who, you know, all you growers listening. Less is more when it comes to training. Less is more when it comes to feeding autoflowers, when it comes to training autoflowers, when it comes to just caring for autoflowers, less is more. So, like I said, I'm going to be posting some updates on the Autoflower Review Discord literally today as we speak. I'm going to go take some videos and pictures of the autoflowers that I have. The Acapulco Gold from MSNL is absolutely insane. On the rest of them are coming up great. All I've done is bend stems over, do some super crop spots, and that's it. I haven't done anything else. I've just simply just done some Cushman chiropractics, bend stems over, and super crop spots. That's the only type of training, and I'm letting them just kind of do their own thing. They're in like little, I think they're 1 gallon pots, but that is, I'll be posting that and you can check it out. You can see proof is in the pudding, less is more. I'll showcase all the bud that I actually do get from it, and I'll be doing it. I'll be curing and drying and all that in the Cannatrol. I did learn that I'm going, because my atmosphere is a little more humid now inside my room, I'm going to buck all the cannabis and take all the major fan leaves off and leave the sugar leaves, the tiny sugar leaves on, and dry and cure the cannabis in there. It turned out pretty much 10 out of 10 with like when we, that first week we had a slight hay smell because of I put literally all the stems in there with big fan leaves in there. And I learned, I had multiple people message me who have Cannatrols tell me like, oh, you should probably take the major fan leaves off. Sometimes it can be a little too much moisture. And I didn't even think about it. I freaking soaked the sponge and put it in there just like trying to do everything right. So I over humidified the environment, but it didn't affect the bud. All I did was I just took all the stuff out. I took the fan leaves off. I let everything cure. I took the moisture down. I took the sponge out. And we just kind of let the bud, you know, dry and cure in there for another, like, I don't know, it's been like 8 to 10 days, and it's wonderful. The smells came back. The terpenes are very present. The bud smokes wonderful. It's not harsh. It's very resonant. It's very potent. It tastes great. So luckily I saved that, but I almost fudged up my user error. So 10 out of 10, two thumbs up for the Cannatrol. The bud is actually spectacular. Like, it really is quite quality. So I'm going to be showcasing all the autoflowers that grow in there. I have 3 Mephisto genetics. I think 2 are actually surviving. 1 might be, I had 4. I think 2 just kind of ran because, you know, your boy here doesn't always do the greatest as far as seedling. It's, listen, I can germinate 100%, but keeping seedlings alive is sometimes still something I'm not the most amazing at. I have a good ratio, but sometimes I don't know, maybe I get the humidity wrong. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder what the hell I do. And then I wonder, man, is it the genetic or is it me? It's probably me. It's most likely me. It's Mephisto. Like, I have 2 others that are gangsters, so I'm pretty sure I overwatered the other 2. I know I overwatered 1 for sure, so. This is the grower. So for those wondering, if you guys are ever go through those thoughts, dude, right here. I know a lot of information about growing. I know a lot of things about growing. I can teach you guys and gals all day about growing. And sometimes I mess up myself and I mess up with good genetics. So I'm going to get my hands on 2 more Mephisto genetics. And I'll get those put into the autopod as well. That, or I'll just toss the fruit by the foot and the, that's probably what I'll do. I'll probably end up doing 2 Mephisto, an Atlas, and a, Seedsman genetic inside the autopod system. So you know what? I've settled it. That's what I will do. The rest of the MSNL seeds will be under the 1 open space that's not in the autopod system. So, well, you guys and gals heard it here first. All right. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned some things about training. I hope you learned a little bit about my insight about how I even mess up autoflowers from time to time. And I've hermaphrodited autoflowers from too much training. I've broken stems on autoflowers and killed them from too much training. So just, it, mistakes happen. Learning is, you know, you're going to have mistakes a part of the learning journey. So just, it's all a part of it. Don't be too upset about yourself. And again, less is more. If you did enjoy this podcast, remember to hit that like button, comment down below any questions you have, or if you want to add to the conversation, if you want to laugh at my my little killing of seedlings over here. You know, we can blab about that because I'm sure many growers have those headaches. I get messaged anytime I talk about that. People are always like, I'm so glad you mentioned that because it feels like I'm over here while everyone else is growing perfect on these social medias. And it's like, no, it's not the case. People be killing stuff behind the scenes all the time. So don't let them fool you. And without further ado, subscribe or follow along so you never miss out on an episode. And you show the sponsors of the show, Atlas Seed and the Autoflower Review, some major love. Definitely check out the Autoflower Review Discord as I will be posting pictures of the autoflowers I'm growing currently that I talked about in today's episode. So without further ado, much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.